Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the Lord. It is good to be here again another Saturday evening to bring forth the Word of God. We'll be continuing in this Song of Songs, which is Song of Solomon. And we're going to go into chapter 3 this evening. But before I begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are our God, our Father, our King. We thank you that you are faithful and true. And we thank you that your word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray this evening in the name of Jesus that your words will pierce the hearts of your people, bringing forth change, drawing us into a closer relationship with you. Lord, we just thank you for receptive hearts this evening. And we just thank you, O God, Almighty Lord Jesus, that your word will find that good soil, O God, germinating and bringing forth fruits of righteousness. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise for who you are and for what you're doing right now in this season as we look to you by faith and give thanks. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We'll be continuing in the Song of Songs, chapter 3. And we spoke about this song. This is the best song of Solomon. And you know, when there's a best song, that is the song that you love the most, the song that you play the most. Even us, sometimes we have a favorite song. And wherever we are and we hear that song, we would stop to listen to that song. So this was the best of Solomon's songs. And this song is played forth in a telling a story in a figurative or symbolic language. And this song historically depicts the wooing and wedding of a shepherdess by King Solomon and the joys and the heartaches that it brings. Allegorically, it pictures Israel as God's betrothed bride and the church as the bride of Christ. So we will be looking through this song, seeing the church as the bride of Christ and Christ Jesus, our bridegroom. This scene is played out in the form of a drama. So the bride, the bridegroom, and the daughters of Jerusalem, the chorus that is being sung. So we are now in chapter 3, and the word of God tells us, verse 1 of chapter 3, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The bride, the church, speaking, by night on her bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. The bride is saying that in the dark times, in the times when she can't even see her way through, she's now seeking the Lord. She sought the Lord whom her soul's love, but could not find him. And many times during times of trials and testing and persecution, sometimes we're seeking the Lord, but it's as if we can't find him. It's as if he's not there, but he's always there, because his words tells us that he will never leave nor forsake us. His words tells us that he will be with us always, even to the very end. Verse 2 of Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 2. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The church, the bride, has no purpose in her heart to arise and to search diligently for the Lord whom she loves. She searched but could not find him. People of God, we have the purpose in our hearts to arise and to seek Jesus. He said if we seek him with our whole heart, we will find him. He said if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. He said if we seek him with a true heart, We will truly find him. Ephesians 5:14 said, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. We as the church of God need to arise, need to get up from that place of slumber and seek after our King, seek after King Jesus. He's wooing us. The Holy Spirit is wooing us, calling us into that close fellowship with Jesus. But we have to do something. We have to arise. And hear the church purpose, as we see here in verse 2. The church a bright purpose in her heart to arise and search for Jesus. He's not far, but we need to come back to that place of disciplining ourselves again. Disciplining ourselves to pray again, to fast again, to worship Jesus in spirit and in truth, to read his words, to sit at his feet and say, Lord, show me what you're saying through this word. We have to find that time to be diligent and seek after Jesus. Verse 3 of chapter 3, Song of Solomon. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? The bride now is saying, the watchmen, the guards of the city. And when we think of watchmen in an allegorical sense, in a symbolic sense, we are speaking of the natural senses, our natural mind, our natural man, the natural senses, the guards of our city, our minds. Keep wandering. The bride is now saying, my mind is wandering, and I'm going by my natural senses to find Jesus. We can't find Jesus using our natural senses. We find him through the Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus to us. So the bride is now inquiring of herself, looking into her inner man to see if she can find Jesus. The bride is now going through her natural senses to find Jesus. All those philosophies and those things cannot bring us to Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit of God who will show us Jesus. So we have to be inquiring in the right place. We have to go to the Word and say, Lord, reveal your word to me. Jesus himself is the word. Reveal the word to me. So we are at a place now where the church is seeking and inquiring. But we need to be inquiring in the right place, looking for the lover of our souls. Verse 4 said, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. The word of God is saying, a short while after I pass the guards, after I keep searching my mind, after I keep looking through my natural senses, then now I realize that the bridegroom wasn't far away. I found the bridegroom that I love. I found Jesus that I love. And I cleave to him. I cleave to him, not letting him go. Let us turn to Philippians 3:13-14 and hear what Paul says to the brethren at Philippi. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark. Verse 14 said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So there's a pressing that we have to do. We have to push forth to seek and to search after Christ Jesus, the lover of our souls. We have to search and find him. And when we find him, we are going to cleave to him. We will not let him go. The word of God said, and I cleave to him, not letting go until I brought him into my inner room, into my heart. I brought him into my heart. We want Jesus to be completely taking over every area of our hearts. We don't want to leave any area of our hearts off limit to him, but we want him to say, to come in and to take full control of our hearts. So we want to cleave to him as we press towards the mark and we find him. We want to cleave to him and hold firmly to our King. Verse 5 of chapter 3 of Song of Solomon. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he please. I charge you, O daughter of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, I command you, my sisters, by the weaknesses of the wilds, that you do not arouse my love until he pleases. Do not do things prematurely. Wait upon Jesus. Wait upon him. Don't run before him, but wait upon him. Verse 6 of chapter 3 of Song of Solomon. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Who is it? The bride, the church, asks in this question. Who is it that cometh out of the wilderness? The Lord Jesus himself, he was in the wilderness being tested by the enemy. Like pillars of smoke, the Holy Spirit was upon him, perfumed with myrrh. And frankincense signifies his death and burial with the powders of the merchant. So we see here Jesus being symbolized here in this verse. So beautiful, all that he has gone through for us. And the bride, the church, is longing for her bridegroom. The Lord is calling us into that deep intimacy with him. He's calling the church back into fellowship with him. We have been so used to the routine, going through the motion, but not walking in fellowship with him. But he's calling us to that deep place, that place where we know him, that place where we are resting in him, that place where we don't have to be striving in our own effort, but we are being led by the Spirit. That place of love, coming back to our first love, loving him again with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. Verse 7 of Song of Songs. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. Look on his couch. The king is resting. The king and his mighty host is surrounding him. King Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He's resting with heaven's armies surrounding him. Jesus Christ is the Lord of heaven's army. So he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He's resting and his ministering hosts are surrounding him. Verse 8 says, they all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. So the word of God tells us they hold their sword, being expert in war. All the warriors have their weapons ready for battle. The ministering spirits, the angels ready for battle. King Jesus is the Lord of heaven's army. and he has his ministering spirit to minister to his people. So people of God, we are not alone. We are equipped. We are fortified. We are covered in Christ Jesus. But we have to abide in him. We have to stay in close fellowship with our King. Verse 9 tells us, King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. The king's chariot is made of durable material. Jesus Christ, our King, is impenetrable. He cannot be penetrated. He is God. He is King. He is greater than all. He is the Almighty God. His chariot cannot be penetrated. He is above all. So we have to come to know and understand the God that we serve. He is greater than all. And in him, we are safe. So we want to come back into that deep fellowship with him, loving him again, and putting him first place in our lives. Verse 10 of Song of Solomon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love. So we see here everything so beautifully paved. The heart of Jesus is filled with love for his church. He is our King. He's clothed in majesty. He's clothed in purple, the sign that he is royal, he is King. The heart of Jesus is filled with love for the church and for Israel. The word of God tells us in Luke 19:41 that he wept over Jerusalem. Matthew 23:37 tells us that he said he would like to gather them as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. So Jesus wants to gather his people. So he wants us to come into that love relationship with him. So he wants us to fellowship with him. But he wept over Jerusalem because they would not accept him. Many of the people would not accept him. His word said he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We want to allow Jesus to take full residence in our lives. We don't want to just sing the song that he is our resident King, but we want him to truly be residing in our hearts, bringing forth that love and that joy and that peace that we so desire. The church of God needs to arise and to seek after Jesus and to find him. He's not far away, but he is calling us and wooing us into that deep relationship with him. He wants us to be the one who will quickly run to him and find that refuge in him and find that love that many are seeking for. That love is in Christ Jesus. He said that he has loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness he has drawn us to himself. So we want to stay in close fellowship with him. We want to go forth and do what he has called us to do from a place of knowing him, a place of intimacy. And when we are in a place of intimacy, Church of God, we will have courage to go and to be the witnesses that Christ has called us to be. Verse 11 of chapter 3. That's the last verse in chapter 3 of Song of Solomon. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal and in the day of the gladness of his heart. The church is being encouraged to step forth and to look at the King. Look at King Jesus. Look at Jesus, our crowned King and our bridegroom, as we celebrate at the marriage supper. Let us look and see what the future holds. The time is coming back when we, the bride, the church, has made herself ready and will be ready for that marriage supper with the King. We want to be ready, people of God. We don't want to be getting ready, but we want to be ready for the time of celebration with our King. He is coming back, and he's coming back for people who have been washed in his blood and who have been walking in fellowship with him. The word of God reminds us to remain in him, remain in fellowship with Jesus Christ, remain rooted and grounded and settled in our faith. Let us not allow anything to take our eyes off Jesus, but he's calling us into that close fellowship with him. So we want to go forth as the daughters of the King. We want to go forth as the bridegroom and to do what Christ has called us to do, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that started it, and he will finish it. We have no doubt about it, that he who has started this good work in us will see it through to the very end. He's not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness, but he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he's calling us, Church of God, to that high place in him. He's wooing us by his Spirit, and he's calling us to that deep place of intimacy with him. We want to love him more. We want to love him so that the world will look on and see that he is really our King. He is our everything. He said in his words that when the world see the love that we have for one another, they will know that we are his disciples. So we want to be people who are loving Jesus and loving one another and walking in true fellowship with him. We want to be people who are set apart from the world, not allowing the world to draw us into their grip, but we want to be people who are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We want to be like him. We want to look like him, and we want to go forth as the bride of Christ, separated from the world, walking in true love, walking in honesty, and walking in true fellowship with Christ Jesus. So as we come to the end of this chapter, we see here where Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, is calling the church into that deep fellowship with him. He wants us to seek after him. He wants us to arise from our slumber. For too long we have been sleeping, and the world is seeking for Jesus and cannot find him. We want Jesus to be seen in us. So we want to be in such a close relationship that the world will want what we have. The world will want to know Jesus and to walk in true fellowship with him. So we are called to be witnesses. We are called to be people who our lifestyle will testify of who our King is. And we want to be the people that will show forth the praise and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us remember who we are in him, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the glory and the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we must know him, and we must walk by faith daily, knowing that it's only by faith we can please him. For his words tells us that when we come to him, we must believe that he is God and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. We want to come to that high place in him. We want to be people who continuously press, no matter how difficult the circumstances are. We come to know that we have not yet arrived, we have not yet attained, but we continue to press to reach to that high place in our Lord Jesus Christ. For too long we have been at the state of mediocrity, where we sit and we think this is it, but this is not it. There is always more. There is always more. There is always a higher place to reach in Christ Jesus. So people of God, I encourage you this evening to take up the word of God, take up the sword of the Spirit, learn Jesus through his word, ask the Holy Spirit to bring forth revelation that we will know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. He wants us to reach to that high place in him where we walk by faith and not by sight. And the word of God tells us that the just shall live by faith. And we know that we are justified because we have placed our faith in him. So we are now walking by faith and pleasing God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. God bless you here this evening. And as we come to the end of chapter 3, we pray that you have gleaned something from this chapter. And we pray that every word that comes forth will speak to the hearts of God's people, bringing forth illumination and showing us that God is calling us to that high place of that deep relationship with Jesus. God bless you here. And I'm going to pray and end this session. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, O God, for calling us into a deep relationship with you. We thank you for your word, which reminds us, O God, of your love for us, and that you, O God, have sacrificed your life for us. So we pray, O God, that we will live a life, O God Almighty Lord, of sacrifice, O God Almighty Lord, presenting our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before you, which is our reasonable service. And we pray in the name of Jesus that we will walk daily by faith, trusting your word and coming into a deeper relationship with our King Jesus. Father, we just thank you, O God Almighty Lord, that we will be stirred up to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise, glory, and honor as we look to you by faith and give thanks. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you here this evening. And we trust that you have learned something from this chapter, and that we will come back again next week, God's willing, and continue in chapter 4. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.